What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful with those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. You can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum, as well as they've got some mints. They've got caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory, recall, and focus. So, you know, I chew it all the time. If I'm driving around showing houses, making some phone calls to my clients, you know, before a workout, really just anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost, pop a piece of NeuroGum, gets me to where I need to be. It's only about 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece, so about half a cup of coffee. And, you know, it's not going to make you super jittery. And, you know, even if I'm going to, you know, do like a workout late at night, I'll take a piece and it won't really mess up my sleep or anything. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Also, shout out to our people over at Captain Beard Co. If you're looking for great products to take care of your beard made with all natural ingredients, check out Captain Beard Co. Their stuff smells amazing. They've got beard butter, balm, oils. They also are making shampoo, conditioner, and body wash, and they have some amazing smelling candles. So check them out, and if when you go to purchase, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchases.
And thanks to our friends over at Hand Wraps Rolling Papers. They have premium hemp and rice rolling papers. They've got the king size and the regular size, and they actually include the little filter tips, and they actually give you the same amount of tips as papers, which is great. So if you're a cannabis user and it's legal in your state, try some Hand Wraps, best quality hand rolling papers I've ever used. So get out there and try them. And before we introduce our guest, I just want to remind everybody, if you've been watching for a while or if you haven't, if this is the first time you're ever watching and you've ever gotten anything out of the show, we totally would appreciate it if you could hit that subscribe button for us. That helps us out a ton. Obviously, we're a newer podcast, just, you know, still in kind of a growth phase, trying to grow this. And it would help us out a ton if you guys click that subscribe button for us. Now to introduce our awesome guest today. He's a friend of mine. He's a stand-up comedian, the great and powerful Chris Oliver.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome, cool, man. Thank you. Appreciate you being here and taking the time while you're in town to, spend an hour with us here.
So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so Chris, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself for the guys out there that don't know you.
Chris Oliver. I'm a comedian from St. Louis, now based in Chicago. I've been doing it for like a little over three years now. Produce shows still back in St. Louis. You guys went to one on last Sunday, which was pretty
great.
Fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
Do another one at the City Winery. It's our bigger show, which is pretty fun.
When's that?
We just did one in Flyover Fest, so this last weekend, last Saturday. But it's every couple months.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll definitely try to make it next time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'll promote it way better. This year, we let the Flyover Fest do it. It was still pretty fun. It was really cool.
How often are you here in town doing things like that?
It just depends. When I get my shows booked, I try to do it like every couple months just because I don't want to come back like too often. But it's one of those things where like I moved to Chicago because I was getting booked there quite often, not getting booked here as much. And now I'm getting booked here way more.
Really? Now that you moved away?
Yeah, which is funny.
Because how long ago did you move to Chicago?
Like,
I was going to say, it was pretty recent.
5 months ago.
Yeah.
So
you moved there and then now they want you to all come back. It's something about, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I would imagine it's something like, oh, it's an out of town guy.
You know,
or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, it's more of like a treat, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, oh, a local guy, we can get him whenever we want. Mm-hmm. He's always here. But, you know, how did you get into stand-up? How did that come about?
Yeah, my story is like so corny. I was working at Amazon over COVID, and I fucking hated it. It was like just not a great job.
Is it? Is it really like how you hear like with the time, like you've got like a certain timer to like get orders in and out, like you've only got, can't go to the bathroom and shit like that. Like we hear all these horror stories about Amazon, and I'm curious what the validity
in the warehouse. Yeah, it's like really strict. I was a driver, so like it's not as strict.
Cruise and podcasts and
that's, you know, all I did. Yeah. Just a bunch of comedy podcasts the entire time I was working there. But there are people who like, they're a little dramatic. You know, they pee in their water bottles and stuff instead of like stopping in a gas. There's gas stations everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You don't have to do. But the routes were long, but I just didn't like it. I liked my boss a lot, but I really hated it, and I've always wanted to do stand up. And then I got like really sick. Like I had like the super pneumonia, COVID mixture thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I was also like really fat and very unhealthy. And I was like, I couldn't leave my bed for like without an inhaler for like 14 days. It was something crazy. Oh. Yeah. And that whole time you're just sitting in your thoughts. I'm just like, man, I fucking hate this job. Why am I even? This sucks. And then it's like, you've always wanted to do stand up. Why don't you just try? So when I got better, I went to work. I put in my 2 weeks and then I went to Florida for like 3 weeks with a couple buddies just because, you know, you could still, it was open.
Yeah.
During that time. And then I came back and was like, all right, you have no more excuses. Just go do an open mic. Yeah. And then my buddy who I started with, we wrote our first 4 minutes and then went to the open mic. Completely nervous. It was at the Funny Bone that you guys are just at. Just did not want to do it. Like, we did, but we didn't. And then we get
terrifying.
There, and they're like, yeah, hey, you're supposed to sign up online, so you just have to come back next week. So we were like, oh, fuck, man. So we, like, built up
all
this
hyped
shit.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, and then next week we went, and it was really, really fucking fun. Like, right after I got off the stage, I was like, oh, yeah, I want this for, like, ever. This was so awesome.
Really? So, like, your first time went pretty well?
No. it went... I got laughs, which is cool, but you never know if it's real or not because they announce it. They're like, oh, and this is this guy's first time. So, like,
oh,
you know.
Yeah. Be nice to him.
Yeah, yeah. I did hit my time, which made me happy because you see a lot of people, like, they, a lot of times when you first start, you think you have, like, 4 minutes, and then you say it into a microphone, and you have, like, 3 more minutes that you have to do. Like, you just fly
just
through
there
it.
And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My yeah.
I'm ready to talk about that. I want to hear about it.
I actually, you know, I'm a big, big fan of stand-up. I've been, mm-hmm. it's like what I, me and Murph, who's our producer on this podcast, we talked all the time about how, you know, he goes, he's really big on like going to see live music. And that was something I used to go and see like musicians and bands and rappers and stuff. I used to really do that a lot. But now, man, over the last 4 or 5 years, I go and see stand-up comics way more than I don't even think, I can't remember the last. Like live music, other than we went to the Our Last Night show, but like, other than that, man, I couldn't tell you the last like live music I'd ever gone to, but I go see.
Don't lie, you went to Taylor Swift.
Oh, you're right. Okay, you're right. Fuck yeah. I went to Taylor Swift. But before these two, I couldn't tell you the last like music I went and saw, but I mm-hmm. go and see stand up like pretty regularly because I'm a big fan, and whenever someone comes into town, like I always make an effort to go mm-hmm. to the show. So I mean, over the last 5 years, I've gone and probably seen stand up at least like times.
Nice, hell yeah,
and it's like my favorite thing to go. But anyway, I'm a big fan of stand-up. So I, a few years ago, man, this was probably, man, this was 2018-ish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think it was like right around the time I started jiu-jitsu. And I was like, man, I, you know, I listen to Rogan all the time. Man, maybe I should try stand-up. Mm-hmm. And I went and I was like, oh, there's an open mic like 10 minutes away on Wednesday nights or something. It was, I can't remember what day of the week it was. And I was like, fuck it, I'll just show up. I'll just tell a funny story. I'll get up there and tell a funny story from college. And mm-hmm. yeah, I had that exact thing happen where I, you know, I got up there and rattled it off like fucking way too fast. Didn't mm-hmm. like set it up or like do, and you know, didn't think about the timing or anything like that. And I just sat up there and just fucking crickets.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck. I'm like, it's done. I'm like, all right, that's it. And I just like walked off after, you know, I think they only gave me like a minute or two. So it wasn't like, mm-hmm. it wasn't very long, but. Yeah, it didn't go so well. And I was like, okay, maybe I don't know if this is what I want to do. But then I realized, like, if this is something you want to do, you got to, like, it takes a lot of time and it's going to take forever. And it's, like, something you really got to dedicate your like, kind of life to a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It's like working out. You got to do it, like, you got to stay consistent. The biggest mistake I made was taking a little time off. Not even a lot, just, like, a month off. And it was so hard to get back into the swing of things. Because open mics, you got to go, like, as much as you can. You got to hit like
how many are you hitting a week?
So like, Chicago, it's different for me because I'm now used to it. When I first started, you know, you go somewhere, it's just a bigger city.
Sure.
So I'm going to a mic and then I'm trying to figure out which is the next mic, like the best one
so
to
you
go
can
to.
Go, like back to
like,
back.
Timing wise. Yeah. Okay. So like Tuesdays I'm hitting like 3.
Okay.
Like, cause it's just all boom, boom, boom. But it took a little to figure it out. Cause I'd go to one, then I'd go way too far to another one. And then I'd miss the last one. You know?
Well, the comedy scene in Chicago is way better than it is here in San. Like, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's bigger.
Like, yeah, well, that, but like, you hear more like famous comedians coming out mm-hmm. of Chicago than here in St. Louis.
Yeah, there's more clubs there. There's way more opportunities there. More headliners come to Chicago versus St. Louis. Like, that's kind of a thing that happens when you're performing, you're hosting or featuring for a headliner. They like you.
Yeah,
they'll be like,
kind of,
hey,
how you start. Yeah, yeah, you come on the road
with
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here the scene is getting better. It's just not there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like we have in St. Louis, there's plenty of open mics to go. You could go up every night of the week.
Really?
Most nights, multiple times. But showcase wise, like what you guys went through, that's like a showcase versus an open mic, like an actual paid show. There's not as, there needs to be more.
For sure. I would love it. I'd be there all the time.
Yeah. There was a second to last guy that went, the one that called himself the Timu Ashton Kutcher. That dude was fucking
Alex
hilarious.
Alex Hayes. Oh, yeah. Shout out Alex Hayes.
He was great.
Yeah, he was awesome.
That dude cracked me up. He was great. He's like 19 or something. Or like
no,
20,
he's
35. 38. He's, like, he's real young. Like,
yeah.
I was
yeah.
like, holy shit. This kid's fucking cracking me up.
Yeah. No, he's crushing it right now. He's like, he's been killing every show I've seen him on since I've been back. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was a really fun show. We had a blast.
Yeah. I'm happy you guys liked it.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah, so. I hated my set. I hated it. I listened back to it and I was like, what? Like, that's such a dumb. But that's how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, do you record every set?
Oh, yeah. You have to. You have to. So I record every set and I make myself listen to it like immediately because I just won't if I don't. Mm. And my when I was like in shape and working out, I would do it in the sauna, just make it the sauna like as
even
unenjoyable as possible.
You got to listen to yourself.
Yeah. Mm. You got to listen to it.
It's it's hard listening to yourself sometimes. Sometimes I listen to our episodes and God, I hate the way I said that, or I hate the way I sound there, or I said like 15 fucking times or whatever it is. And
I say things wrong all the time. Like listen back. I'm like, I said that wrong.
It just didn't
all
come out right.
All the time.
All the time. It's so frustrating, but it is what it is. Just can't go back and change it once it's out there, you know?
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's not like we rehearsed for this either. It's just
off the cuff. Yeah, there's no, it's not scripted by any means. It's just here, just having a conversation.
Yep.
So, how do you go about like writing? Like, what's that?
So, I mean, you can pretty much make a joke out of anything, but at this level, it's got to be out of personal experiences. I think that's the best way to come up with something like original because we all have jokes about COVID or homeless people, stuff like that, everyone writes stuff about that. But the one that you guys read, I did a joke about the Biden birthday card.
Yeah.
I was at a friend's grandma's funeral and I like learned that.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know that was a thing. And then I was like, oh, wait, there might be something here.
Yeah.
A birthday card from the president. Because in my opinion,
it's when you turn 100, you get a birthday card from the president.
My grandma got one. She turned 100 last year.
Oh, yeah.
It's not totally mentally declined Biden.
Yeah.
He remembered.
But when I was there and when she was when my friend's mom was talking about it, I was like thinking I would hate birthday card from Biden, not for politics or anything. I just don't think it'd be that good.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about what it would be like from Trump either, and it was like I would either love that or hate that, but I feel like he would just be a dick.
Yeah.
I feel like he would just
you're old.
Yeah. Can't believe you made it here.
What are you gonna do now?
But sometimes something just it falls in your lap like that, and then you just gotta write.
You like
every day.
Do you literally sit down and write on a computer, or do you notebook? Do you just rip it in your phone?
I write like a psycho. I pull out my phone, use my notes app, and I write down the premise. If I really like the premise, I will handwrite it out, and then I will bring it back to my phone. But I don't write it word for word. Like I do in my notebook, just to have it in my head. But then when I'm up there, I try not to look at it.
Keywords and stuff.
Yeah. It'll say Biden birthday card or something like that.
Just so you remember what's in line or whatever.
Well, sometimes when you're up there and you're just you're just kind of flying through it, you'll say a tag or something that you didn't write down or anything. And then it just sticks. You're like, oh, I need to start doing this every time now.
Right.
Yeah.
But you got to write every day. Everything with stand up, you got to do pretty much every day. Yeah.
So you're getting up pretty much every night.
It's better now. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't at first, but I also don't have a job. So I'm Ubering. It'd be 1 week go really hard, 1 week Uber really hard.
Okay.
So I can make my money and then go back as hard as possible.
Okay.
But in Chicago, I'd probably go up. Monday nights are very good. Tuesday nights are very good. Wednesday nights are very good. You can hit a good 9 mics in those days.
Okay.
And then Thursday nights, it's hit or miss. And if I'm If I go do a mic, this is, I probably shouldn't be like this, but if I like bomb really bad, it's like, okay, I'm going to Uber for a little bit and think about what I just did.
Go think about my mistakes.
Yeah. And then weekends, I hang out at clubs a lot.
Okay.
It's always good to watch these people. They're professional. You know what I mean?
Right.
It'd be like going to a gym and watching like a black belt train,
right,
or whatever.
For sure.
And it's also good to network in comedy. That's something that I'm learning, especially because a lot of my friends that I started with, they're all way younger than me. I started a little, later mm-hmm. than I should have, I think. And they are so bad at networking because kids don't know how to talk to people.
Yeah,
it's like really sure. funny to watch. But it's really important because you can meet someone really cool and they could give you really good advice or like, oh, you should come on the road with me.
Right.
Do the show with me. And then, yeah, it's all good hangs go a long way.
For sure. And it's just like any other business, you know, at least that I've experienced, is just the people you know. It's just going to make your relationship, like, having good relationships within your industry is huge.
Well, you hear Rogan talk about it on his show all the time about how, like, back in the day, people were assholes to each other. Like, mm-hmm. they were just mean. He said that's changed. He's like, you're starting to see a more open and welcoming crowd, comedy community.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's good to hear that, you know, building that network.
Oh, yeah.
Everything like that. So, anything coming up? Any
show? I'm going to have some fun shows that I'm going to announce later on in January.
Okay.
But yeah, we just hit a fun wave of shows here, which was really
here?
Cool. Yeah. Oh, cool. The show you went to was a smaller show, but that headliner I was really pumped about.
He was
because,
good.
Yeah, I think he's very funny, and I think he's about to be out of my price range, quite frankly. So
Oh, really?
That was kind of cool. Yeah, I think he's about to be quite famous.
Sweet.
He crushes all over Chicago.
Does he?
Yeah, when I looked him up, I was like, oh man, he's got like 70,000 followers on Instagram or something.
Yeah,
I was like, he's pretty big.
Well, Instagram's such a huge thing too. You guys watch Kill Tony, I'm guessing.
Of course.
Yeah, so do you know who Fiona Colley is?
Yeah.
The girl in the wheelchair.
Yes.
So I was with her the night before her first Kill Tony appearance.
Oh, really?
Like, I met her through a friend. She's awesome. We did a couple shows together a month ago. And she's the first person I've met who's like, I watched become famous. And
see, it's possible.
Oh, it's crazy. But I mean, she came to Chicago, her and her boyfriend Matt, they're both very funny. She came to Chicago and she headlined Zany's. And when we were all leaving, we were walking down the street and people like literally like, oh my God, you're Fiona Colley. Like they stopped her. Like they recognized her like outside of the club. And I was like, oh my God, you're there. You hit it. It's crazy.
Hit it.
But it's crazy too. Cause I think she's been doing it like as long as I have. I think she's like a 3-year comic, which is crazy to be headlined.
Sure.
Yeah. But she is also very fucking.
Takes a long time from my understanding to really develop this.
Oh yeah. Well, you just got to keep going. They tell you like when you start, like write long jokes and then trim them down. And then when you're good enough, start adding. So you just have to keep going. But there's so many hell gigs and hell mics and stuff that.
Yeah. What's the worst one? I'm sure you've had some where, you know, I always hear like the bachelor parties and the corporate gigs and all those are like,
yeah,
rough. I can imagine just because you're somewhere where it's not a, you know, a comedy club or a venue where people are expecting a stand up.
Yeah. Winery shows are pretty hit or miss. You can tell who's there for stand up and who's there for like a date night, mm-hmm. you know?
So you're obviously going to fuck with the people on the date night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to fuck with everybody. I try not to do that when my friend, like, if a bunch of my friends come to a show, I don't do crowd work because I don't know how to make it not personal. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And it's like, because when you're doing that, it's just going to slip out.
Sure.
Be like, oh, yeah, you're heckling me. How's the divorce? You know what I mean? Yeah. But as far as shows, my buddy Jack, we started around the same time. We have, like, before I moved to Chicago, we drove to Chicago to do a show where not paid. They give you a meal ticket or a drink ticket. And there's like one guy in the audience. You know what I mean? Oh, you drive all the way there.
Drive
and then
5 hours there for one dude.
Man, this sucks. But you make the best of it. When I went up, like I said, there's one guy in the audience. I just sat down at the table with him. I just brought the microphone with me. And I was just like fucking with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just kind of got it figured out. I don't think there's any other gigs that have been bad. The first time I got to host anything, it wasn't like a big show by any means. It was just an open mic, but someone asked me to like co-host an open mic, and it was the first time I got like heckled really bad and I like lost. And that was like the worst feeling in the entire world, man. Because you get off and you're listening back and it's like, I should have said this. I should have said that. This guy should not have won.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh God, that's gotta be brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. It hurt. I think I was like 5 months in or so, but then, you know, you're so young, you think it's the end of the world and then you're like, oh no, this is just normal. This is like 90% of it until you like it good enough. Sure.
I'm assuming now you probably have some like good, like just like shit ready to go for heckling.
You get some
ammunition that you have like ready to pull out whenever you need it.
Arsenal just keeps building and building and building.
It does. But also I learned too, it's better to let them talk if they're going to be doing it.
Sound stupid.
Yeah, it's easy to, because they're going to slip up
and you're
going to
have
one way or another.
You're going to have something to, yeah, because you got way more reps at being funny than they do, you know, and you're the one with the microphone.
Yeah, that's a huge thing too. Yeah. But also if you're not used to talking in front of like large crowds of people, that's like another thing. And the audience more or less will turn on them before you, unless you're really bad at it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or being like a dickhead or something.
Yeah. Because I mean, no one likes a heckler.
No.
And so people, there are people. Yeah. Well, yeah, there are people that are like, oh, I'm helping. It's like, you're making it so much worse for everybody here.
Yeah. Like the comedian. I'm here to see you. Yeah. I'm here to see him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say is like the biggest crowd you think you've ever done?
I think like 500. So, yeah. I did the Chicago City Winery. I opened for Larry Wilmore, the Daily Show.
Okay.
And, that was really cool. That their winery's bigger than ours. The mix match for me and him, he's like a political guy and does like magic. And then I talk
about.
He does
about, magic?
Like, yeah, he does legit magic. And then I.
That'd be hard to follow, right?
Well, no, I opened for him.
Oh, okay.
But I was talking to him before stage, just like, you know, he's way, way up there in the chain. I shouldn't say like stand up, but he's a very famous guy.
Sure.
So I was like, hey, is there anything you want me to like avoid talking about or anything like that? And he's like, no, just let it rip. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, it's about like Dan Schneider and like pedophiles and like stupid shit like that. And then he's just all politics and magic. Know if they're gonna like this or not, but I went for it and the audience liked it, so it worked out in my favor, which is really nice. But yeah, 500 I think would be the biggest. I've done another show, I don't even remember what town it was, it was somewhere in Illinois. I think it was around 500. It was like a brand new venue, pretty sure it's like a wedding hall or something, and they're just trying to get everything in there. So a group of us went out there because they overpaid because they didn't know what they're doing. And they let us do our thing. It was really fun though too.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, do you have any like who are some of the people that you like when like comedians that you're like that you want to? I guess you don't copy them, but like style wise that you like. Who are some of your favorites?
So my favorites. So when I was a kid, everyone probably would say this, but Dave Chappelle, Killing Him Softly. It's my favorite special of all time. I watched that because my parents told me I couldn't,
right?
You know, and loved it. Louis C.K. is amazing,
dude,
amazing comedian. Like, however you feel about him, he's an amazing comedian. I do love Shane Gillis. I think everyone loves Shane Gillis now.
Yeah, I saw him last season.
That's great. Awesome. I got to bring a couple of my buddies to see him before he was famous.
Really?
Because
that's cool.
I'm a huge fan of, like, the Legion of Skanks podcast and Shane and all that. I've been listening for, like, Amazon. You know, I was listening to him a lot. I brought my friends, like, we have to see this guy. He's going to be so fucking famous one day. And then, of course, you know, I mean, he just has.
Is this before or after his stint on SNL?
After.
After.
Yeah, yeah. And then when I was younger, this is an unpopular opinion, I really liked Aziz Ansari.
Okay.
He had, I don't know what the special was called. It came out in, like, 2008. That was, like, one of my favorite specials. And then Daniel Tosh. A lot of people don't give him credit for his stand-up.
No,
Daniel Tosh is really
funny.
Oh, dude, he's great. The Tosh show, he used to watch the fuck out of the show.
Dang. What is he up to now? Is he still?
He produces a lot of shows.
Does he?
And I was just in Vegas, and his billboard was everywhere.
Really?
So, yeah, he's still doing shows there. I guess he lives there.
Does he do stand-up, or does he do like more of like?
He does stand-up.
Okay.
So he probably has a residency out there then, I would assume.
I would assume, yeah. But yeah, People Pleasers, that's one of his specials that came out in 2013, I think. That's like one of my favorites, like ever. It's very, very good. Yeah, I think that would probably nail it for me. like okay. who I like look up to in comedy. Gotcha. There's so many comedians now though, and there's so many funny like comedians out there. That's like one of the cool things about Kill Tony.
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like Kill Tony has changed the game for stand up, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken. I mean, so many people have gotten famous off that show.
Yeah.
The biggest comedy show in the world. Sold out Madison Square Garden how many times now? And so great.
I still see that one kid that looks like he's 5 years old talking about his mom. Oh, really young. It's funny. It's funny shit.
Yeah. Heath.
Heath, yeah.
Heath Cordes, yeah.
Yeah.
There's, and like all the regulars on there are just great. You know, William Montgomery, mm-hmm. Cam Patterson.
Hans Kim. Yeah.
You know, like, dude, so good.
Cam Patterson's one of the cooler people I've met.
Yeah. He opened up for, I think he opened up for Shane. Mm-hmm. I saw Shane. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great show.
Dude, it was awesome. That's up there for me.
That's what's really cool about Kill Tony, because he does give those opportunities out. The thing that sucks from the comedian side is so many people sign up for it, and I guess you shouldn't look at it this way, but sometimes it's like, fuck, these guys are signing up, they're getting picked, they're taking away my opportunity.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because I went to the New Year's one at the HEB Center, and the first night, the first person that got pulled was not a comedian, and she went up, didn't tell a single joke. She was just like, I just want to thank you guys for this opportunity. I'm not even a comedian. And
wasted that. Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wasted a pick. But set the bar, really. I wanted to go so bad after that. I was like, oh, my God, I can do any joke I have, and it'll be better
than
that.
It'll be better than that, yeah.
like, in the club, he can control the audience. At the HEB Center, he could not. So everybody was just booing the shit out of this girl, and I couldn't even imagine just, like,
the feeling of that.
Well, yeah, I don't even know how many people that sits, like thousands of people just being like, boo, fuck you, because that's what everyone was yelling.
Oh, yeah, well, because why would you even sign up? Seems like a fucking pointless. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, credit to, from my understanding, credit to Tony for, like, actually, like, sticking to, like, he's not, like, digging through the bucket and picking out names. Mm-hmm. He's, like, actually reaching in there and picking a random one, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
You know, at least he's not like, oh, I know this guy signed up. I want to make sure he's on for the show. You know, it's like he's actually picking random, you know, random names out of the bucket, which is cool. But then you're like, I just want my shot, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Give me my minute, you know? Because that minute seems like it can change the course of your career.
It can. A minute's tricky, too. It's not a lot of time.
Yeah. You got to cut out all that fat. You got to just be funny.
Yeah.
Be as funny as you can for a minute.
Definitely. But the thing, too, just Austin in general, have you guys been to Austin yet?
No, dude, I'm dying. I really want to go to Mothership.
That'd be awesome.
It's a very cool club. The as a comedian, I don't think I would move there until I was, like, way better.
Okay.
Just because I went there for, like, a month, and I had a couple, like, actual shows, and then just I tried to do the open mic scene, and there's so many comedians there now.
It's like the comedy, like,
Mecca
now. You know, it really is.
It is. It's just there's so many.
Well, do you think it's because what Rogan's done down there, or has it always been?
No, it has not. It's been a comedy scene. There's some fun shows that were there before the comedy boom, but just that whole strip, because you have like the Mothership, you have the Creek in the Cave, which that came from, and then
Red Band shows like right next door or something.
Sunset's right? Just right down the road, and then there's a newer club, it's called Black Rabbit or something like that. But it's boom, boom, boom. There's just clubs.
Everywhere.
Right there. And since, you know, Joe Rogan is there, like last time I was there, just walking down the street, and it's like, oh shit, Theo Von just walked right next to me. You know what I mean? Like, you see people like that all the time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to try not like freak out.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to him. We have a mutual friend, but someone did, a fan came up. Oh my God, Theo, can we take a picture? And he was like, nah, man. And no, Theo, please, please, please. And then like, he literally ran away. Like, it's like, fuck, I was going to be like, oh, I know Mike. No.
Yeah.
Ruined it. I saw Theo last time he was in town too.
How was that?
I would say Theo's gotta be top three people I've seen.
Yeah.
Shane's gotta be in that top three. Might be him. It's hard.
Chris Oliver.
Yeah, Chris Oliver's up there.
Boom, dude. Free tickets for life.
Saw Joey Diaz once.
That's awesome.
That was sick. I saw him in Kansas City. That was really good.
Oh yeah.
Seen Tom, I've seen Bert. I've seen a good amount of people, but yeah, I would say Shane and Joe are definitely way up there for me as far as like just how hard I laughed, you know, and Joey for sure too. because it's like, you know, you hear all the Joey Diaz stories and I just like see him in person better.
Oh yeah. I got to watch him open for Rogan. Forgot what year it was. New Year's. It was in LA. Me and my buddy went, Josh Cuevas. We went go see Joe Rogan. It was Tony Hinchcliffe, opened, and then Joey, and then Rogan.
Damn, what a show.
It was pretty fun. He just crushed. I think Joey Diaz funniest by far. Actually, yeah.
Rogan always talks about like how he's hard to follow, you know?
It's
but that's cool that he does that. Cause you know, he talks about how a lot of comedians will like bring not as good comedians that they don't think are as good on the road with them. So it makes them look better when like the headliner goes.
Yeah.
You know? But I think Rogan sounds like he does like the opposite. He's like, I just want everybody to have like a really good show. Mm-hmm. I just want everybody to be funny, you know, and everybody, cause it's going to bring up my game.
Yeah. It's good to throw yourself in this. Comedy's like, it's very competitive, but friendly at the same time. So like Alex, for example, after that weekend, well, after the entire week here of just seeing him, I want to follow him every single time now because now I have to be better.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He's just been crushing and it's like, fuck. Cause we started around the same time.
Really?
And it's just like, man, he's so ahead of me. I have to catch up. You know what I mean? It's like a fun rivalry.
Yeah, for sure. It's just going to push you to be better. Now, like how, so you've been doing it for what? Three, you said 3 years?
A little over three. Yeah.
Okay. Just gotta take forever. Like how long, like if you, how long would you say you're like, if you had to do your like full set right now?
Just like everything I have?
Yeah.
I mean, I could do.
I know it takes a long time to like develop the shit. You know?
I could probably do around 30 minutes, but I would like 10 of it maybe.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's there'd not, be a not lot your of best shit. You know?
Yeah. There's, cause I, you don't think about that until you start getting offered to do like longer sets. Cause I've been doing like, hosting sets and 10-minute sets for a while, and then
get comfortable there. But it's like once you get,
well, yeah, it's like, oh fuck, what if I have to do 15?
Yeah.
Like, can I do it? And then I started like digging through my notes, and it's like, oh wait, yeah, I forgot about this. I completely forgot about this joke.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Go back and be like, oh, wait, there might be a better way to word that, or you think of shit all the time, or do you ever like be on stage and like shit just like pops in your head and you try it and it works? Or
sometimes, yeah, like I said, those tags will randomly come to you, and then you just when you're not thinking, just let it rip.
Yeah, that's
and then,
why you record, so you remember
exactly.
it, you know?
And then crowd work. A thing in Chicago that is not as much of a thing here is that when you're hosting shows, they want you to open with crowd work. And not even if you have, like, any material or any jokes to go with it, just, like, to get them involved. But it's such a good way to, like, practice. Because it's like, oh, are there any couples here tonight? How long have you been together? Or, you know, is anyone visiting from out of town? Where are you from? They say something like,
boom, I can rip on this city. I can shit all over Philadelphia.
Yeah. Ew, you're from Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's like the new thing that like I see like online with like younger kids like shitting Ohio or calling it mid or something, you know?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Ohio?
I don't know. Just, like, shit
apparently
all
everything. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't
know. Apparently, yeah.
I don't know. Dave Chappelle picked it. It must not be that bad.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
I would love to go to his club.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he's got one too.
Mm-hmm.
That's sick.
That was awesome when he was during COVID. Just opening up his farm and just putting on shows out in his farm.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
He's one of the coolest comedians I've seen live. And I got to see him. It was in between. So he first came, I don't remember what year, 2017 when he first came back. Maybe. It was in between the first two specials.
He fucking took
a long time off.
Like a decade off.
Yeah, yeah.
At least.
I think he was still doing like small things just around. But my friend Bobby got to open for him when he came to St. Louis at the pageant, which is really cool. That's also what's fun about comedy, because Bobby doesn't know him or anything. Just the original host either got sick or had to bail for some reason. So they were just calling local guys.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, hey, you free? Can you open for Dave Chappelle? It's like, no one's going to say no to that.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever I'm doing, I'm walking out of right now.
Yeah,
I'm going to the pageant.
I'm there for sure.
Cool. Yeah, I was supposed to see him and Rogan during, was it 2020? Mm-hmm. COVID shut that down. And,
The one they were doing those arena shows.
Yeah. So,
yeah. He, I got to see him in Atlanta again with Josh Cuevas, your comedy buddies before I started. And
does he do stand up?
Sometimes.
Okay.
He, I'll tell you the story after this. But we went to Atlanta and it was hands down the coolest show I've ever been to. He was headlining. Donnell Rawlings was opening. That's Ashy Larry. And then Ashley Barnhill, I think was her name. She's a very, very funny host. And then when Dave went on stage, John Mayer was in town, so he came on stage with him. And then they FaceTime Chris Rock. So just all of them were on stage talking shit. Super, super cool. And it was at the Tabernacle, so it was like a bigger room, but it wasn't like a arena or anything. And we were like front row. It was cool. Like, first time I've ever been starstruck. I was like, oh my God, this is my guy. This is awesome. This is so cool. Josh, though, so he was in the Navy, and then he was in San Diego, and he did a couple open mics there. And he came back to St. Louis for a weekend, and I brought him to a room, which it's not necessarily a hell room, but kind of. It's called the Blue Strawberry, and it's a mixed mic, which means that you can do stand-up, poetry, music. Man. I followed a kid that was like 10 years old just crushing on the piano. You know what I mean? I go up and talk about my dick there. No one's into it. You know what I mean? But I brought Josh there, and he was very, like, you know, confident. He's like, yeah, great open mic, which is a fucking hilarious thing to say. Like,
I'm a great open
mic. Yeah, open micers are not great. Dude, we
it's
all
like saying,
suck.
I'm the best white belt.
Yeah, exactly. But he was like, yeah, he felt really confident, and I hope he listens to this. He's going to be so mad. He went up very, very confident, and he started to bomb, and he started to fumble his words, and then he pulled out his phone to look at his notes, and someone yelled out, just say anything, and it was just crickets. It was so rough. And of course, we got off stage, we're like, oh, the best open mic room.
Yeah. The fastest kid at fat camp.
Yeah, right. But that's how it goes, man. Like, you probably bomb 90% of the time.
Really?
Yeah, you just... I mean,
well,
a lot of
trying new shit, you don't know if it works.
Yeah, so. You have to try new shit, like, a lot. That's something I struggled with too. My buddy Mike used to work for TMZ, and he gets to open, like, he opens for Theo when Theo's in town, and cool. He was just in Chicago. He opened for Adam Ray, so I got to go hang out with them, which is really, really cool. Adam Ray's like the nicest, like, famous person I've
is
ever
he
met.
Is Dr. Phil?
No, he wasn't dressed up, but he was awesome. And they were just talking in the green room, and they were just like, oh, you know, you have to get to that point where it's like, okay, you're getting booked. You're hosting now. So you're doing like 5 shows a weekend. You have to do new. You can't do the same set all every 5 time. Shows. Yeah, which it's true. Like, you don't think about it, because like the first weekend I did host, I did the same 10 minutes just over and over and over, because I was so nervous it wasn't going to be good. It's like, yeah, you got to get past that, though. Got to keep going.
Crazy. So weird, you know, it's just got to be so difficult with, I mean, like, that's one of the things about stand-up that's just so different from every other art form, is that you have to do it in front of a crowd. You can't, like, musicians can sit home and play, you know, they can sit in their room and play, you know, play whatever on the guitar and sing and do whatever, but, like, you can't.
Yeah, your mirror's not going to laugh at
you. You can't, like, you know, say a joke in your mirror and get a reaction.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got it. The only way you know if it works is, sure, you might think it's funny, but then you get out there and try it. Crickets. Okay, maybe that wasn't funny.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, I can imagine, like, on different crowds or different, like, venues, and, like, some jokes may work here, they may not work here. Does that like ever happen?
Oh yeah,
run into, like,
oh yeah, all know, the like, time.
Like, just run into a, okay, well, that one normally works, but it didn't hit tonight.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know what it was, venue or people or whatever it is.
I've done the same exact set in 2 different spots where it's like it's crushed, and then it's just been. It's like, fuck, should I even be doing this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get that feeling a lot. But there's just so many, like, factors into it. And you got to, like, want to be, like, motivational. You got to get out of your comfort zone with comedy. You have to do all the rooms. You have to, like, me and my buddies, when I still lived here, we'd go to North City every Wednesday. You do the black rooms, because you'll know if you're not funny.
Yeah.
They'll tell you. They'll tell you while you're up there.
Oh.
They're like, you fucking suck. Like, you'll hear it. But, you got to do it. You got to work out that muscle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't stop. Sure. And then there's other rooms too. A lot of people, you know, comedy's had such, like, a weird thing because of, like, the whole woke thing versus not woke thing. And I used to be really bad. It's like, oh, this is a woke room. I don't want to go here. And I look at my set. It's like, your set's not even that bad, dude. Go get a rep. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And if they don't like you, fuck it. Who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
Not gonna matter tomorrow.
Kind of try and cancel you. You know?
Yeah. That's not even, like, one at my level, no. But also, like, that's, I just don't really think that's much of a
just,
thing
like,
anymore.
Live in fear like that or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Nothing has, I don't know. I don't even think, if, like, I was trying to get a job somewhere and then they saw my clips, I don't even think that would really get me in trouble.
Yeah.
like maybe the 9/11 joke, maybe. Mm-hmm. But you know yeah. what I mean?
Killed in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking great.
That tag came because I did that joke in New York and it got some laughs. And one guy was like, "Hey, man, I've heard a lot of 9/11 jokes. I haven't heard that one." It's like, good job. Like, thanks. It's so funny about comedy, too. It's like you get compliments about just like the worst things that you could say.
Just talking about the shit that
everybody's thinking, but nobody has the guts to say.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know? For sure.
But
yeah. Well, you said working that muscle, that made me think of this because I know you did 75 hard, right?
Yeah.
And that, like, kind of, I know you lost a ton of weight. So mm-hmm. how did that go for you? When did you do that?
I've done it twice now, I did, I guess it was like 2 years ago. One was like awesome. The other one, every fucking second of it, I hated it. But that's just because I failed. This is actually kind of funny. I failed because I fell asleep doing yoga in my, in my living room because... Okay, so I woke up.
That would make a funny set.
I know, yeah, it is. It's so annoying because the first time I did it, it was like, it was so motivational. It was like, I did the workouts. I was still doing stand up like regularly. I was like killing it. I ended on a 14er. This is what I was talking to Ryan the Priest about. I climbed the mountain in my workouts, mm-hmm. my last day. And then it was just so rewarding. Like, I lost the weight I wanted to lose. I gained the muscle I wanted to gain. I climbed the mountain.
Sure.
Sick. Next time, I'm like getting booked more. It's not just like doing stand-up. It's like not open mics. Like, I'm doing shows and I'm doing podcasts and stuff. So the last day, I think I made it to like day 40 the second time. And I woke up, I went to work, and I worked with my friend Tom. So we do cleanouts for like estate sales and stuff like that. Just, you know, yeah, Tommy Trades, baby. Yeah. and then... Like, I'm already tired, and then I go do a show that's, like, 2 hours away, and I don't have time to do anything in between work and then. Like, I should have woken up early, but I was out late the night before doing stand-up, and which is a dumb excuse, but that's how it went. And then I go do the show. I get home at, like, I don't know, midnight around there. I start my first workout. Okay. Technically, I already failed, but I'm like, fuck that. I'm still going
to
do it.
No, it doesn't count until you go to sleep.
Yeah.
It's not tomorrow until I wake up.
So I did both workouts just back to back.
Yeah.
And then the next night or the next day, I wake up for work again. So I slept for like 4 hours, I think, something like that. Go to work, go do a podcast, then do one late set. It's like, okay, you got to start your workout. So I did a walk around my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then I came home and I was like, dude, I don't feel like doing like
anything intense,
anything at all. Yeah. I'm just going to do yoga. So set the mat up And I turn on one of those YouTube yoga videos, and then I just woke up like 6 hours later.
On your
like,
mat?
I was just like, oh my God, you legitimately failed. You fell asleep. And it was just like, but in my head, I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'll try again later. I don't want to do this right now. And I didn't restart right away. But what I like about it and what I don't like about it is it works
for sure.
But if you're not consistent after I'm learning more about like cutting weight and gaining weight back. Like, if I'm going to do a strict diet like that, I can't just go back to normal. I'm going to gain weight so fast. Yeah. And then I'm just going to feel like shit. And then it's just going to waste everything I did.
Yeah. Now, what were you doing for your diet?
I was counting calories. I was doing.
Like counting your macros or how were you doing?
I was just 2,500 calories a day. Okay. I think that's what I was doing. But then when I started working more with Tom, like, that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
I would have to eat like 3,200 a day just to like maintain weight.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
picking shit up all the time.
Yeah. But I didn't eat like no fast food, no soda, only drink water, no fried foods. Just try to eat like a protein and a vegetable. I've done low carb before and I don't really like it. But again, it's like when I do something like that and then I go back to normal,
I feel like shit.
Yeah, it physically hurts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't want to do that. I think moderation's the best way to do anything. So.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I can totally speak on that. You know, with 75 hard, it's like, if you don't, you can do this for, 2.5 months, but then like the second you get off of it, it's just, God, it's, you really have all these things. Like, oh, I couldn't eat this before. I couldn't eat this mm-hmm. before. But like, if you start going down that rabbit hole and then like, you start having like one bad day after another, and then you fucking spiral out of control, really. Sure. Like, I've done 75. I've completed it twice. I've done it. There's one. I think I failed it. Yeah, I think I've attempted it three times, and one time I did fail it, and I just never restarted. But no, it's changed. It's been beneficial for me every single time. But
yeah,
there are plenty of times where you just don't plan your day. It's all one thing I think it really helps me is it really forces me to like plan my days better, because if you got to fit those 2 45-minute workouts in at some point, so it's like you got to really like be diligent.
Yeah,
which that's where I think I got the most benefit. Okay, really.
Time blocking
my schedule. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's super important and it's difficult to do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I learned too, my friends make fun of me for this. The bros at Supplement Superstore, I love them.
They're awesome. Awesome.
They're so nice. They're so much nicer than any of my piece of shit friends, and they just motivate me. And it's so funny. 100%. The cards are really funny that they write you whatever. I have one. It's like riddled with typos too, because he has FCT, but I fucking love him. It was so nice. It's so funny. But yeah, that whole community is cool.
Oh yeah, dude. We're friends with a lot of the guys up there, and
went up there yesterday. Spent some time with them.
Oh yeah,
spent $300, but also had a great conversation.
Yeah, it's easy to spend $300 in there. That's for sure. Yeah. Like it can spiral out of control real quick.
Their apparel's sweet too. Like every time I go in there, I walk out with something.
Yeah,
some sort of shirt or hat or sweatshirt or something. It's
like, we have nice.
Quit making cool shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So you think you'll do 75 hard again, or?
I don't know. I should. In my head, it's like, why don't you just write something that would, like,
that you can stick to?
Yeah, you know, like, instead of doing. No, I shouldn't say that, because both workouts are really good. I don't know. Maybe just do like an hour and a half at a gym or something. Yeah.
Instead
and then
of, just having to break it up in two separate things is what's always difficult, at least for me. It's like,
I just
would rather like budget my hour and a half, if that's what it is, for the day, like just right now and get it done.
Well, that,
but you know, that's part of it, I guess.
That first time there were times where I like just woke up late, didn't have time to do what I needed to do. And I would be like, okay, just hour and a half straight. I'd run to the gym, work out, and then run home.
Okay.
I would just do that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way to do it for sure. I love the, you know, one thing that I've been pretty good about is the reading aspect of it.
Yeah.
Like I really enjoy reading, and I dig the personal development type books. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's still something I do pretty much every morning is I still read 10 pages. So that's a habit I've definitely held on to that I really do enjoy that.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, I mean, when him and I do these book club where we read a book together every month and then do a podcast about the book. So,
oh, nice.
So it's just kind of, that's that on top of it has just like forced me to like stay super consistent. Like, oh, I'm going to have to talk about this for an hour at some point this month. So I better actually pay attention.
Yeah, right.
I got to introduce you guys to Tom. You guys would all get along so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would definitely. He would.
I've met him before. Actually, I think he commented on the thing on my Instagram that I put yesterday. You guys see that shit? Literally that shit?
No.
Bro, I walked through the nastiest house I'd ever been through, and that's saying something. I've walked through thousands of houses. This lady, it was up on the north side. I walked in, and you could like smell it from the street.
Okay,
but you walked in this house, and you know, she's like, "Hey, I'm sorry, you know, just letting you know, you know." She's renting the house, so my client's looking to purchase this as a rental, and she's been renting it. And it's a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, and you know, she's like, "Hey, I'm sorry. You know, there's some dog poop on the floor in here. So just a heads up, watch where you step, bro." Like, there was so much dog poop in there. It was insane. Like, you're literally stepping over it that's like landmines in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you walk into the like kitchen, it's just everywhere. I walked by like a cooler full of like this dark, murky water that I'm just assuming was piss.
Yeah.
Like, that, you could smell this shit from the sidewalk. And then, like, by the back door, first of all, like by the back door, there's probably like trash bags full of shit, like trash or whatever, piled up to the ceiling by the back door. And then around the back door was like shit like this high, like just piled up around the back door. And then like every room had dog shit in it. And then
she owned the home, or
no, she's renting it.
Man,
and even worse,
like, get there.
I've had several people, because I put that video on Instagram yesterday, and I've had like 30 people message me about it. And people are saying, like, you should report this lady. Because the worst part is that I go upstairs and she's got kids sleeping upstairs.
Oh, that's sucks.
She's got kids sleeping. Or, like, kids are living in this in this shit for real.
I'm going to immediately call child
services. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I might need to make a phone call. I've never had to do anything like that before. So it's like, holy shit. That's, literally.
Yeah.
It was awful. I'll show you the videos. It's fucking awful.
I don't care if you're an adult being that way. Fuck you. You deserve that, but you can't put kids through that shit.
No. Yeah, no.
My feet are just sliding around in there because the floors are soaking wet, so I'm assuming that what I'm sliding around on is dog piss.
Yeah.
And, like, bro, the smell in there, like, I could smell it in my nose for, like, an hour after. I don't know if it was just, like, on my clothes or what.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm like, did I step in it? I, like, was really good about, like, checking my shoes before I got in my truck because I was like, there's a very good chance that I stepped in some dog shit because it's fucking everywhere.
Yeah, that's crazy. That definitely beats what we've been through. I can only think of one thing that we can kind of, when I worked with Tom.
Yeah.
The first clean out we did, it was a very similar, it wasn't in like North City, it was somewhere in West County, but it was like a completely carpeted house.
Mm-hmm.
And there was dog shit and piss everywhere. And they had someone come in, rip up all the carpet and like re-sand all the floors. And like all the piss and shit particles were like just flying in the air because when they were sanding the floor and like three of us almost threw up. So fucking gross.
Dude, it was so bad. Like the pneumonia smell. I could smell it from the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Like outside, I could smell like dog shit, piss. And I'm like, and then I go in the house and I'm like she opens up the door and hits you in the face.
Yeah.
And North City. She was like so nonchalant about it too. Like, yeah, there's some dog poop in here. Watch out. It's like some dog. It's like,
yeah,
like you can't avoid it. It's everywhere. Like, I don't know how you're living in this.
And there's less floor space available.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
called by shit.
For real. Fuck. Like it was so bad. And the fact that, and then, you know, I went and saw the house at like 9:30 in the morning and she's like, hey, yeah, my kids are sleeping upstairs. I'm like, 9:30 in the morning on a Tuesday. Like, why are they here? Like, I mean, they weren't like little kids, at least from like, you know, I popped my head in the room just to like, because I was trying to see every room of the house and like couldn't really see the size of the kid, but it wasn't like a baby.
Yeah.
You know?
So,
well, you'd think that, you know, 9:30 on a Tuesday, you'd probably be in school, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. So I was like, man, maybe I should call somebody on this lady. I've never had to do that before.
I would.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like kids involved. Kids involved now. Yeah. That's
awful.
I would. Sure.
Oh, I guess I'll do that later.
Yeah, dude. That's crazy. That's sad that that's like a dorm for the kid.
Right.
That's so gross.
I can't imagine. Like, what do you go to school and you just smell like poop?
Yeah.
And
they're not in school.
It's 9:30 I guess. Yeah, 9:30 on Tuesday. And
Yeah.
It's like, I can't imagine. You know, and she kept like blaming it on her roommate. She's like, yeah, just don't get roommates. My roommates left me with all this. And
all
like,
the shit.
I was like, so you just are just deciding to wait for them to come back and clean it up? Right. Or like, what are you waiting for? Like, you just would rather just live in filth, but. Disgusting. But anyway.
Really fucking gross. So there's some material for you.
Yeah. There's material on everything, man. For real. Yeah.
Yeah, like for the, you know, for the brief stint that I was, you know, attempting to do, like the couple days before that open mic that I went to, I was like trying to like anything that I came across, I was like, that could be something funny. But I was like, I didn't never really like took the time to like develop it. And I know that it takes time and just obviously didn't put the time into it, but I was like, yeah, literally anything could be. That's what's cool about it.
Would you ever try again?
Maybe. I'd be better at it now that I've like talked on here for a lot of episodes. Like I could come up with something. I don't know.
Talking in the microphone definitely helps. This is why I love podcasts though too, because it's not like planned material. You just go up there and riff, and then if something sticks, you're like, oh, I'm gonna write this one down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm gonna re-listen to this and see if I said anything that was actually like funny.
Yeah, maybe, maybe one day. I don't know.
It's always fun. Don't go to a bar. Go to a club. Those open mics are always going
to
be better for you anyway. Because
people are going to see
stand-up.
We used to do Big Daddy's Soulard on Monday nights, and during football season is like the worst thing in the world because we're in front of the TV.
You're interrupting.
Yeah. These people are betting on it and like just trying to enjoy their Monday, and then we're like trying to chase our dreams. Talking stupid shit, and they're just like, get the fuck out of the way. Yeah.
Trying to chase my dreams, talking about my dick.
What are some good places around St. Louis that you recommend?
For open mics?
Or just to go to, and just if you're wanting to check out some good comedy.
Okay. Well, the funny bone, for mm-hmm. sure. The helium has a lot of my, like, all the, there's heliums, like, all over America, too, but they book, I think, bookers from Philly, so they book some of my personal favorites, like Big J. Hokerson. Yeah. I got open for Akash Singh, it's a New York guy that's really cool, so.
Flagrant.
Yeah, those people, they go there. I always recommend the helium, but both Funny Bones are good. The City Winery is pretty good for comedy. They get more bigger names. It's like, I guess that's like in between like a club and then like the Factory or something like that. But also the Factory, I mean, I got to see Louis there.
Sick.
Yeah. And then as far as like bar shows, there are a bunch of fun shows like all over the city. A bunch of fun open mics. My buddy Ryan Ballard runs a show in Waterloo, just right over the bridge. And it's at a place called Anti-Bar. And his is more of like a game. You go and do like a 10-minute set, and then you play Would You Rather with the audience, and that's a good way to practice crowd work. That's a fun show to go to, though.
That'd be fun.
And then my buddy JC and Ben Johnson, they run a show called Wild Card Comedy, which it's a circle of death, but with comedy. So you go on stage, and actually Tony Filla just did this open mic and got a nice lesson in comedy. But you go on stage, and you draw a card, and then whatever card you draw, that like affects your set. So if you get like a 6, you got to do it in an accent. Or if you get like a 7, you got to be angry when you're telling it. You got to do a clean joke, dirty joke. No.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun. It's scary.
Yeah. Well, I'm for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, do they give you premises too, or do you have to like.
No, you just do your set.
Just do your normal set. Yeah. But yeah. Like you got to like do it pissed off or do it in a fucking southern accent or.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me an Irish accent or whatever it is.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You just, it's fun and scary. But for sure. Tony's been coming. I was hosting an open mic at Stan's on Macklin, which one of my friends, not true, said, best hang, worst vibes. Not true. It's just a good time. It's just a South City bar. But Tony started coming to that and trying some material out there, which is cool. But it's good to get the rep in, but you really need to go to like a club or like a show like that with like a, I shouldn't say like theme, but something that just challenges you a little bit more instead of you going up there and just saying fucked up shit, you know? Because, like, a lot of people, I think when they start, they start very, like, dirty. I mean, we all do.
For sure.
And then you're like, oh, I'm not going to get booked. I need to, like, if you're going to be dirty, it's got to be really funny. Like, you can't just go up there and be offensive.
Okay.
And then writing clean is way harder.
I would imagine.
Yeah. And it's got to look at it that way. It's like, I want to be able to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if you don't really like it as much, I mean, the further along you get, like once you get to like the middle spot, the feature act, you get to really be loose and
kind of be yourself.
Yeah. But like, as far as hosting goes, you want to be a little bit on the cleaner side.
Yeah. I would imagine. I feel like if you're hosting for sure, like I think of any show I've ever seen where there's a host, usually not like, it's definitely not like super raunchy, like talking about just whatever it is that's raunchy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's usually a lot cleaner.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Good, yeah, it's great. Oh, and you so you produce podcasts too, right?
I produced one. So before I started stand up, I took my stimulus check and I blew it all on this shit.
Yeah,
I don't know how to use like any of it. I had one buddy and his cousin. They wanted to do. It was more of like a motivational thing. Editing. You guys don't edit, right?
No.
Editing motivational podcasts for me was one of the hardest things I've had to do because you just listen to the same thing over and over and over and over again. And like, I just like comedy podcasts.
Sorry, Murph.
Yeah. That poor
After
guy.
The 10th time, this isn't fucking motivational anymore.
Yeah. No, yeah. And my buddy Corey, he was at St. James. They had like the school, they like, opened up the rooms for like offices. So I brought all my stuff there and I would record and I was like, yeah, I can do this. Like whatever, I'll YouTube it or whatever. And it was hard. It was boring as fuck. And it was just over and over and over again. And it was like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I still have my stuff just in case. Like I know the basics to set it up. And now I do have a camera. I finally bought a camera, but I haven't done like a personal podcast in a while. I used to have like some comics come over to my house when I still lived here and we just like bullshit around. Mm-hmm. But that was more for just like riffing and coming up with material.
Sure. Yeah. Think you'll ever start a like do your own podcast again?
Maybe.
stand up and podcast go together like, right. You know, like peanut butter and jelly.
They definitely do. I would just have to come up with like more of a fun theme. Like, have you ever listened to Are You Garbage?
Yeah.
Love that podcast.
It's a great podcast. Yeah. I think you need like a good premise. You know, because it's like just to you know, have two buddies on there riffing, talking about bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Huh.
I mean, we have people on and we talk about different shit, but
yeah, we mix it up.
You know, we've kind of tried to create a theme, but I definitely think we could be better about that probably. I don't know. But sometimes we just get on here and just riff. But,
yeah.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, and in worst case scenario, it's like, well, you can take the clips and then you got social media content.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, as you know, it's something that can help big time.
Have you been looking into like the algorithms and how to like work it? You know how to do that?
Dude, I don't know. We thought we did.
Yeah, it changes so frequently, but
it's like
who
changes
knows?
All the time. I mean, we've attempted, but it's like, man, I at this point, I just like, you know, just keep doing the thing and hopefully eventually, you know, every once in a while we get a reel that'll pop off and get, you know, a few thousand views and like, that's cool.
But there's like, some of them I'm just like, why did this one go off? And I've got another one that I'm like, wow, that's a really good one. This is going to do well. And
All the time. Like, oh, this is going to be a good one. But then it'll be like a weird one where we'll just post. And
I mean, honestly, I thought the one I posted yesterday was going to do really well.
Yeah.
You guys do Reddit? Post on Reddit? Do you know who Jeff Akuri is?
Mm-mm.
He's a stand-up. He's like a crowd work guy. He is like, he's all over my feed right now, but he is like, starting to do like how Matt Rife started going on tour on these like bigger venues. He's starting to do that. And he just had a clip go viral on Reddit. I didn't even think about putting anything on Reddit.
I've never posted any. I've gotten on Reddit.
I mean,
like
I know
what
Reddit
bit.
Is, kind of.
Yeah.
Like,
I have no idea how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never like actually, I don't even think I have the app. Like I just like whenever something will take me to Reddit, I just like follow it on this.
Yeah.
Whatever browser. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've never, like, I don't even know how to navigate Reddit at all.
Yeah, it's just something to keep in mind. Maybe I just downloaded, like, I was off social media completely before I started stand up, and then, which was great. I was so much happier and like so much better with my time. And now it's like, oh my God, I need all of this back.
Yeah.
Because you need it for stand up.
Yeah. You need it. And it's like, there's no way to create a, feel like it's like essential to that. Essential to stand up, especially.
Oh yeah.
Or really just about any business now. I mean, you can't without a social media presence. It's like, you're definitely missing out for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much like you're leaving on the table, especially the fact that it's something you can essentially do for free. You know, like, you don't need to hire people. You know, you can just do everything on this.
Yeah.
Even so, I mean, I just think it's super important no matter what industry you're in.
I have a friend who she doesn't live off of it all the way, but she makes a good amount of her money through TikTok. And I just downloaded one just to like upload some clips. I'm starting to upload clips now because it's like, okay, I need to burn these jokes. So it makes me have to do newer jokes. And, she was telling me that she made like, I think it was like 5K, and she, what was the premise? She said she made like a series. So it wasn't just one video. It was like, she said she made like a family recipe of this soup or something. Okay. And then like, you know, sometimes when soup, when you refrigerate or whatever, it gets like thicker.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I'm gonna see how many days in a row I can eat this. And I think she said she made it to like 14 days of just like eating this like gross soup. And eventually some sponsor or something was like, hey, I want to buy this series. I'll give you $5,000 for these videos. She's like, okay.
Okay.
Wow. So maybe making series is the secret.
Yeah. Huh.
So if you have like a...
It seems like it's what people want to... When people want to follow along with something like
really niche things. Like my cousin's wife hit it off TikTok cat and doing stuff with her cat. So now she's sponsored by these like cat brands. And
yeah.
Makes money TikTok by posting $1,000.
Crazy.
About for cats.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I've seen like a lot of ones go viral that are like, yeah, it's like, I'm going to, for the next 100 days, I'm going to do this and see what happens. And it's just like, people want to follow along with that shit. Like, there's this guy that I follow who's like skateboarding across America right now.
I'm following him too.
Like, it's just like, cool. All right. He's in New Mexico.
Yeah.
All right. Him and, oh, he's got guys following him today.
You know,
he's got a crew with him. Like, oh, they're just pushing down the highway on the skateboard. Like, you know, that's,
Forrest
that's
Gump
one way
was
to
onto
do
something.
It.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of that, we had a guy, I think we talked about it at the night that we saw you. We had this guy on that. literally rollerbladed from Venice Beach to Times Square.
Holy shit, yeah, dude.
Yeah. It took him like a month or 20.
40
or,
something.
Yeah, 40 something days. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Literally like, you know, just rollerbladed from Venice to Times Square.
Yeah.
Pretty sick. And he had like guys in a van following him. They're making a documentary out of it, which is cool.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, pretty sweet. I'm excited for whenever it comes out. Just because I talked about it. I want to like see all the,
right.
You know, he's posted some clips and, you know, you've seen him like going through the finish line and, you know, he's like, I haven't, like there was one video, one clip he posted that it was like he hadn't walked walked more than a few steps in like a couple days, like five, like a week or something. Uh-huh. Cause he was like, basically like whenever he's done rollerblading, he would take the rollerblades off and go sleep.
Yeah.
Whenever he wasn't, he put the rollerblades back on and was going. Then he's like, I hadn't like walked anywhere in like a week. And like, he's just like,
yeah.
Walking funny, you know? Cause you got to think like, if you ever remember like going to like the roller rink or something as a kid, like you get done, you're like, it feels funny to walk again. Mm-hmm. Imagine doing that for like a week straight.
Yeah, no way.
Not walking, it's just got to like throw you off.
Was he like fucked up at all? Like his body?
He said he only fell like 3 or 4 times, which I thought was insane.
Yeah.
You know, cause I'm like, I would expect, and he said there was a couple times where like, you know, he's following it on a map and then he gets there and it's like a road with like a ton of rocks on it. Shit. So he's like, he's like, I had to walk 3 miles in my rollerblades.
Oh no, dude, that sounds so awful.
Yeah, because I didn't count, you know, the steps didn't count unless I was in rollerblades. He goes,
yeah,
you know, so he's like fucking walking across gravel in rollerblades for a few like miles.
Told us about how he got hit by a car.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So there was that. But I said all in all, his body wasn't that bad. Obviously going across,
you're
going to have your
injuries
and normal wear and tear of your use of your body. But he's like, all in all, it wasn't
bad. Yeah.
Just think about the blisters. He's got
That's where my head went.
Yeah.
But I mean, if he got hit by a car, I probably wouldn't think about anything else either.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, well, anything else you want to plug before we let you go, or?
Just Topology on Instagram. I'm going to have some announcements coming out here soon. When does this episode come out?
This one will probably be out in about 2 weeks, I think.
Okay, so, perfect. Yeah.
So
bigger things coming in January.
Sweet. Well,
awesome.
Well, let us know and we'll promote it. Love to see you next time you come in town and next
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last.
Yeah, so. And we like to end it with one last question called the Tombstone Game.
Okay.
So your lie is Chris. What's it say on your tombstone?
Don't stop, bitch. Just keep going.
Love it.
You gotta do it. If someone can rollerblade across America, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Don't stop, bitch. I love
there
it.
You go.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. Remember, click that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. We'd really appreciate that. Hit that like button, comment below what you guys thought, and we will see you next time.